You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rattle. My guest today isn't just a guest, but a longtime family friend, Bill Kohler. Bill lives in Orlando, Florida, and is married to another longtime family friend, and also sometimes my partner in crime, Missy. They're parents to four children, Tate, Emma, Jack, and Lucy. Bill has worked for a faith-based nonprofit called Crew for the past 33 years. He has served at the University of Nebraska, Ball State University, and on the leadership team of the high school ministry. He's currently a strategist who focuses on devising ways for as many students and faculty as possible to hear about and start a relationship with God through the faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bill. I appreciate you being here, and I'm excited to get into this conversation.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Okay, so I just want to let our listeners know that Bill and I know each other. I have known each other for years, like, I don't know, 17?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Like a long time. A
couple decades, yeah.
Yeah, so our families know each other when they lived here in Lincoln. Now, Bill is in Florida. And I wanted to talk to Bill today because he works with Gen Z quite a bit. And so we wanted to get your perspective, Bill. You know, a little bit about Gen Z and their faith journey, and also how you connect with them, what they think about what's going on in the world around them, what they think about God and the Bible, what they yearn for, all those types of things. Okay, so let's go in.
Sounds good.
So let's start by talking about Gen Z and how they feel about God in the Bible, in the world that they live in.
Yeah. Well, my perception, my experience, both from personal interaction as well as from reading a lot of research, is that the generation is very spiritual, very religious. You know, I think it's in the, I was just reading something recently about maybe like 71% of Gen Z would describe themselves as religious, 78% would describe themselves as spiritual. And so there's a really, you know, there's just a great openness to God, to spiritual conversations. Now, that doesn't necessarily translate into that high percentage being churchgoers or being connected to more traditional forms of faith expression. And so that's where, I think that's where a lot of the challenge is. You know, the generation has a pretty high level of distrust of a whole variety of institutions, and that includes churches, it includes pastors. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, one of them just being that, you know, they don't necessarily like some of the things that are taught or expressed. And some of those things can, you know, some of the gaps there can be, oh, you know, the Bible teaches X, but I believe Y. And then there's another whole swath where it's, you know, this church or this pastor is emphasizing such and such that I don't actually think is biblical. Mm-hmm. And so either way, that creates a disconnect. And so it's a challenge, but it's also a huge opportunity.
Hmm. That's very interesting, because I have read that Gen Z is the least religious generation. But I guess I'm looking for, what is the difference between spiritual and religious? What do you think is the difference between spiritual and religious for Gen Zers?
Yeah, I mean, different people have different definitions of that, so I won't wade into that aspect of it. But just in terms of my personal understanding, I mean, I think if someone is open to spirituality, I think that they tend to have an interest or an openness or a desire to connect with God in some fashion. But in contrast to religiousness, they, you know, that's more expressed in a traditional sense. Like, I go to a church, or I go to a mosque or a synagogue, or I believe what this particular branch of religion believes. And there's less of the latter, more of the former, I think. Mm-hmm. So, and to your point too, I think there's, you know, in spite of the high percentages that I mentioned earlier in the 70s about spiritual openness, religious openness, et cetera, this generation has the highest percentage of atheists and nuns, which, you know, a nun is not the Catholic holy person, but someone who would say, I don't have any religious affiliation or identification. Mm-hmm. And I think it's somewhere hovering around like the 20% range that would put themselves into one of those categories. And so that doesn't mean that they're not open,
right?
But it just means that they're not going to say, well, I'm a Christian or I'm a, you know, a Baptist or whatever the label mm-hmm. might be. So,
yeah, that's really interesting. I have also noted that when you just said how they can find other ways, they have an openness to hear about God, and then they find other ways that are non-traditional in their way of worship. Because I have heard one young man likes to go fishing on Sundays. And when he's out in nature, he feels connected to God. And so I agree that they do have like a different way of viewing what it means to be with the Lord, mm-hmm. you know, and not necessarily meets what we another generation may look at. That means you go to church on Sunday and you do this, this, and this. And for them, it could just mean something completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really true.
Okay. So Bill, I know that in your current position as a strategist, that you find ways to connect with Gen Z. And we know Gen Z is very much into the digital world. So how do you connect with them in the digital world?
Well, to be honest, we're still trying to figure that out in a lot of ways. And so I'm working on a project right now where we're doing a lot of prototyping and testing, you know, where we're creating things and then just putting them in front of spiritually curious Gen Z students and trying to figure out, okay, does this resonate or does it not? And how can we make it better? And as we go through that process, we'll get to a place where, God willing, in the months to come, we feel like we're on target and we'll begin to multiply content and put it out there so that they have something to connect with. But, you know, some of the things that we've discovered pretty early on include the fact that they spend a ton of time on screens in general. And when they are on screens, it's places like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. And so we're creating content that shows up in those places as well. And there's, you know, really what we're hoping to build is centered in the YouTube space, but then TikTok and Instagram provide front doors or, you know, introductions to encourage people to check out the YouTube channel. And then as they watch content on the YouTube channel, they have an opportunity to not only engage with the content, but hear what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, have an opportunity to connect with a student or a staff person near them that can help them to take the next step in their spiritual journey, whatever that would be. So that's a little bit about that.
Wow,
and one other thing that I mentioned is that our research has shown us that students tend to value more of a conversational approach to topics of faith, as opposed to perhaps a more traditional approach where the institutional authority, like the church or the Christian organization, says, well, here's our answer to whatever question it is. So you ask your question and we'll give you the answer. You know, there's some people that take that approach, but not as many in this generation. And so we want to try to facilitate conversations on topics that matter to students. And as a part of that conversation, we're going to introduce a Christian perspective and encourage people to explore that more fully if they would like to. But we're going to try to avoid a one voice approach where we're not allowing the students themselves to express divergent points of views as they have those, because they do.
Well, I think that's very wise. That is a good way. Conversation. They prefer conversation, because otherwise they see it as a lecture. And so yeah. I think that's very wise to do it that way. And when you said you talked to them about some of the things that are happening, oh, I can't remember. How did you, sorry.
It might've been, you know, topics that they're, that are important to them.
Yes. And so what are some of those topics that you've entered in conversation with them about and then shown them a Christian perspective? What are some of those topics? Thank
sure. you. Well, a big one is anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, so many students feel that at a very significant place in ways that I don't think was really true of previous generations. Mm-hmm. Another one is loneliness. You know, some people would say that there's an epidemic of loneliness in our culture as a whole, but certainly among young people. And of course, that there's a paradox there because we're more connected digitally than any other generation. And yet that feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm all by myself. There's people all around me digitally and in person, and yet I feel alone. And the gospel speaks to that. And so we want to try to make that connection as well. So a big part of our research indicates that students are much more concerned with how faith shows up in the here and now than in the then and there. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about the then and there, but we want to start by talking about what matters to them. And so, you know, even content like, okay, you show up as a first year student on a college campus. How do you thrive during those first 4 weeks and really get off to a great start, as opposed to getting lost or getting overwhelmed or so many of the other things that can happen. And so we're trying to produce content that speaks to those kind of things as well.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah. And then I would say too, that there's certainly more traditional topics that we explore, even though, you know, we explore more traditional topics because students still have an interest in some of those kinds of things. For instance, what's the intersection of faith and science? Can I believe what the Bible has to say and still be somebody that values science and things that come from that world? Mm-hmm. Or is belief in Jesus and Christianity, is that the same as believing in the Easter bunny? You know, there's a good percentage of young people today that kind of have that point of view. And so we want to try to explore that and help people to see that there actually are really credible reasons to believe that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again and that he can make a difference in my life today. And so those are some of the other topics as well.
Mm, I love that. Okay, so let's talk about what you kind of touched on it a little bit, but let's talk about what Gen Z yearns for. And well, let's just start there. Let's talk about what they yearn for. You did talk about how which is very true, the anxiety level is off the charts, and then the loneliness, being in a pandemic doesn't help that. And then everything else that's been happening around the world, if they're paying attention, which you can't not pay attention, then it's going to affect them. So let's kind of talk about what they yearn for, even though all this chaos is going on around them.
Yeah. Well, I'm a fan of a woman by the name of Kara Powell, and she heads up the Fuller Youth Institute in California. And she's recently written a book. I can't remember the exact title, but in the book, she talks about the big three. Mm-hmm. And they would be identity. In other words, who am I as a person, as an individual, belonging? How is it that I connect with others in the world around me? And then purpose. Why am I here? Mm-hmm. And I think that makes sense, not just sociologically, but I think it makes sense biblically that's how God has created us to be his image bearers. And he's created us with a grand and glorious purpose. And he's created us to be in community and connection with one another. And so that's God's original design. That is what is fulfilled in a relationship with Jesus. And yet it's what is so often missing for students as they try to figure out how to experience those longings, those yearnings apart from him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's what I'd say about that.
Oh, that's good. Okay. And then what is hopeful about Gen Z?
Well, so many things. I'll just list a few that come quickly to mind. I mean, one of them, you know, you were just talking about the chaos and the trauma that so many experience. And, you know, and on the topic of trauma, there's a Barna report that has come out within the last few years that would actually indicate that 82% of the respondents in that were surveyed for that report. That's not the exact one that I was thinking of, but, you know, a similar report just talks about 82% said that either they or someone close to them had experienced trauma. And I can't remember the exact definition, but it was, you know, it was along the lines of, you know, just a sustained feeling of terror or fear or unease that lasted more than a couple weeks or so. And, you know, there's just a high percentage of that and a high percentage then within that has experienced, you know, multiple examples of that. That could include things like the death of a loved one or, you know, someone having cancer or abuse of various sorts. And so that this is the world that this generation lives in. And so, you know, there's paradoxes with this generation. One of them is that they expect the worst, and yet they're really hopeful and believing that really good things can still happen in their lives. And I think that's something that we can tap into as we're, you know, as God gives us the opportunity to come alongside people in this generation and, you know, point them to Christ and point them to a thriving life. I think another thing that gives me a lot of encouragement and hope for this generation is that they are the most diverse generation on record, not just diverse, like say within the US context, but there's a diversity that is expressed in their global connectedness that I don't think has ever existed in any other generation. And so, and with that diversity, there's also a high value on inclusivity. And so, you know, the idea that everyone should be able to have a place at the table. Everyone has value. Everyone should be celebrated. And those are things that are true biblically, but this generation, I think, can teach us who are older an awful lot about that. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of hope and a lot of value there. And then I think too, you know, this generation is, you know, often described as digital natives. You know, there's never been a time in their life when they haven't known the screen and the smartphone and the tablet and everything else. And that certainly has liabilities that go along with it. And yet they can help us lead the way that, you know, that's where everybody is. You know, those kind of things can be redeemed for good for the sake of the gospel, I believe. And so I think this generation can really help lead the way as far as that goes.
I love that. I agree with you about how Gen Z is so inclusive. And one of the reasons I respect that so much is because, especially as they are those who are Christians or becoming Christians or being introduced to Jesus, that they understand the gospel is for everyone and they are willing to bring everyone to the banquet table. And that is the one thing I am so encouraged by for the future, that they will do that and they're willing to do that. They're not afraid to step into those spaces and they want to be a safe space for others. And in wanting to do that, they're going to bring people to Jesus's banquet table. So yeah, I agree with that. That's a beautiful thing. And that book that Bill was talking about from the Barna group is called Trauma in America, Understanding How People Face Hardships and How the Church Offers Hope, which of course I'll put that link in the show notes. Then I'll put the Kara Powell link in the show notes also. Okay, so Bill, talk to us about how Gen Z, because we hear a lot of contradictions or paradigms or whatever about Gen Z, and maybe we disagree with a lot of the things that they say or do, their huge sense of humor. I was just talking to someone today, and she said her daughter keeps sending her things, and she's like, I don't even understand it. Because she doesn't understand the humor. So, you know, there are some disconnects in us about how we get them. What is encouraging to parents about Gen Z? You alluded already to that about how inclusive they are. And even like you said, their digital awareness will make it even easier, the gospel. But what is it else is it about Gen Z that parents can be encouraged about and how they can encourage their Gen Zer?
Yep. Well, I think in addition to the things that I mentioned before, one of the other things that is definitely a trait of the generation. I wouldn't say that every single individual has this inclination, but certainly a lot of them do. And that is the propensity toward influence. They have a desire to influence, to make a difference. You know, I've even looked at statistics that would list top 10 desired careers for Gen Z. And in that top 10 is, you know, I want to be an influencer. Like that would be my full-time job, to be a TikToker or someone who influences people on Instagram. And, you know, a lot of people are doing it. You know, like I think about a particular YouTuber / Instagram, TikTok person that my daughter Lucy is fond of. She's 16 years old. You know, I think she's got several million followers. You know, she just bought herself a Tesla for her birthday because she can, because, you know, because she's got all these followers and there's all the ads that go along with that and the product endorsements that go along with that as well. And, you know, and she's just this regular, so to speak, regular high school student, but she has a lot of influence and, you know, and power in that respect. And that's not, you know, I mean, I don't know how many 16-year-olds are buying Teslas as a result of being YouTubers, but what I am saying is that there's just a great power of influence, of, you know, aspiration to use what they have to make a positive difference. And that's not just on social media, but it's in a lot of different ways. And so I think, you know, the challenge, of course, is, as St. Augustine said so many years ago, is that, you know, he was praying and he said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are ever restless until they find their rest in thee." And so, you know, you can have all the desire for influence in the world that you want, but if it's not anchored in the gospel and what God has created us for, to be his, you know, his redemptive agents in the world, then there's going to continue to be a restlessness. And yet, conversely, if young people can have older ones like ourselves, you know, humbly come alongside of them and say, you know, here's something that you might consider that perhaps you haven't before, then, you know, I think the sky's the limit as far as that goes, because God just has so many great things that he wants to do with his generation.
Mm. Oh, I love that. I really appreciate how you put that. You know, I did a episode, I think it's called Gen Z Wants to Be Famous. Then I asked the question, but do they? Because, yeah, it is about influence, but they also just want to be known. And to be known by Christ is the best possible knowing. And so that really, I really can connect with what you're saying there. I hope that there's some parents who connect with that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think another thing too is that, you know, there's a list of, I mean, various research entities, you know, they pull students on a regular basis to find out, you know, what are the things that you're most concerned about in the world? And for 2022, for this generation, at the top of that list would include things like racial justice, like the idea that the lives of Black people actually matter, just like anybody else's life does. Things like addressing poverty, like addressing concerns about our environment, you know, and I just think about different topics like that. And, you know, those are things that God cares about, every single one of those things. And so to have young people that have those same cares, those same concerns, and to see them activate on those things, especially in a way that would be connected to the gospel, that is so significant, because, you know, the gospel relates to everything in life, and it relates to those things as well. I think part of the, you know, one of the reasons maybe that there is a less strong connection for many young people to, you know, the institutional church is that, you know, especially for those of us that are part of the dominant culture, we've had the privilege, the luxury of having a more narrow view of you know, what really matters to God. We have perhaps opened our Bibles enough to realize that, you know, there's actually a wider swath of things that do matter to the Lord and that he wants us to be involved in. And I think a lot of times young people see those gaps and that causes some dissonance in their hearts. And they're like, well, if I'm not seeing this entity that I'm supposed to really respect and admire and look up to addressing these things, well, I'm just going to go outside of it and find another way. And that's not a failure of them. That's a failure of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's an opportunity for those of us who are part of older generations to, you know, really take a step back and to say, okay, what should my faith look like based on what the Bible actually says, based on what the gospel actually points to, and to move forward from there and to do that, you know, with the members of this generation in a way that would both empower them, but also allow them to lead us and to help, you know, give them a chance to show us the way, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really good. Yes. We know Gen Z, they're social justice warriors. In my eyes, though, in biblical terms, justice is justice, and they're looking for justice. And I agree, they will step outside of what they see. And to be honest, a lot of us in our generation have not set a great example of how to love our neighbors well. And so if they don't see that example, they're not going to follow it. Especially if they're already in the church and they have read the Bible for themselves and they understand the message of the gospel. And if they are seeing something different than that, they're going to call it and they're going to question it. And that is one thing I really respect about them, that they will call you on the carpet and they will say, looks like a duck, talks like a duck, must be a duck. And I don't want to swim in that, you know, pond with that duck. And so that leads them away. But when we are embrace the gospel fully, then it helps them to understand the full rights of who Jesus is and why he died and how he was resurrected for redemption. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, you used that phrase a moment ago of social justice warrior. And I think, you know, there's some in our culture that would, you know, they would have, you know, negative pejorative associations with that phrase. And yet, you know, I can't help but escape. And I think a lot of our young people can't help but escape that, you know, places like, you know, I think it's Psalm 89 that talks about how righteousness and justice are the foundation of the Lord's throne. And so that's not just an extra thing to, you know, for kids to be into because they're kids, but it's something that God's into and that we should be as well. And, mm-hmm. and that ties directly to the, you know, the nature of the gospel. So. Mm.
Wow. This is great. I love this conversation.
Yeah.
Really good. Okay. Well, Bill, why don't you tell our listeners how they can connect with you?
Well, I think email would be a simple enough way. It's bill.kohler@crew.org. And you can put that in the show notes for anybody that's interested. That would be probably the simplest thing.
What about that app?
So one of the things that I've had the opportunity to work on and be a part of over the past several years has been something called the Thrive Studies. And you can see more about those at crew.org/thrive, or you can go to your app store or Google Play and you can search Thrive Studies Crew and you can download a great app. And it's basically a collection of small group resources that are designed for students and actually, you know, designed in a way that students can lead other students in helping people to grow, helping students in particular to walk by faith and communicate their faith and then multiply their faith. And so there's just a ton of really great resources on that app and at that website. So would definitely encourage you to check those out.
It was so great talking to you. I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for joining us today, Bill.
Sure thing. Thanks, Sabrina. Great to be with you.
All the links will be in the show notes. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With his spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Often we believe our questions mean we don't have faith, but I believe Jesus loves our questions. Our questions are windows into heaven. I'm Caden Fabrizio, and on the Questions with Caden podcast, we ask and answer one question per episode as relevantly and biblically as possible. Questions about fear, anxiety, depression, addiction, and so much more. Don't worry, your questions, they're not going to scare Jesus. So ask away. Listen and subscribe now at lifeaudio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.